Good afternoon. Welcome to the regular meeting of the Cambria Community Services District. And we shall begin with the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Secretary, we have four members present. Mr. Funkabaloo is absent on vacation, I believe. Do we have a report from closed session, please?
Yes, District Council is on his way. He's going to be a little bit late arriving from San Luis Obispo, but he directed me to report for him that there were no reportable actions taken in last month's closed session.
Thank you. Agenda review, please. Any?
Okay, I have one correction to item 8A. Under regular business to adopt the resolution with regard to the Cambria Community Healthcare District. The number listed in your agenda is 41-2006 for the resolution. That's incorrect. The correct resolution number is 45-2006. And then I make reference to the addendum that you have in front of you that I just passed out before the meeting, the red line copy. That is the actual approved copy that the Board of Trustees for the Healthcare District approved Tuesday evening. And I'll discuss it whenever we get to that item on the agenda.
So the number of item A, is that the resolution number has changed?
Yes, it's 452. There was an inadvertence because that number had already been taken. So it should be 45-2006.
45. Thank you.
Correct.
All right. Any other additions or deletions from members? All right, then let's continue.
Let me make one other comment. I apologize.
Sure.
Item 8D is to adopt Resolution 25-2006, authorizing the Memorandum of Understanding between the CCSD and the Professional Firefighters Association. I received a late communication right before I came to this meeting. I've left a voicemail for the representative for the CPFA. I've listed my cell phone number, so if I have to excuse myself to take that call to find out if we are going to come to terms today, then I will do that. I'm going to leave it on the agenda for now, but I may have to pull it when we get to that item if I have not heard from their rep.
Thank you. I'm wondering if, in fact, it does not occur before we go into closed session, could we reconvene at...
We'll ask Art that question when he shows up. And this is a community service that's provided free to single-family residential customers of Mission Country Disposal within the Cambria Community Services District. There are special rules that apply for bulky items, and I refer anyone who's interested with regard to special pickups for those types of items to call Mission Country at 543-0875. An announcement that Director Greg Sanders has been appointed as the Aqua Region 5 board member to fill the unexpired term of Don Villeneuve, who resigned for personal reasons. Wayne Parrick, who's the chair of the Citizens Finance Committee for the Build-Out Reduction Program, Art Montandon, our district council, and I presented an overview of the Build-Out Reduction Program and the financing options to the Scenic Coast Association of Realtors on August 3rd. We're going to deliver a similar presentation to the Cambria Rotary Club on September 1st at noon. Under Human Resources, we have made a conditional offer of employment to a wastewater treatment operator candidate. We anticipate him moving through the processes and an employment date within the next 2 to 3 weeks. We've also received 18 applications for the position of finance manager. 8 of those qualified and will be interviewed on September 7th. And then I'm going to spend the next morning in final interviews for the top 3 candidates. We are still on target for an anticipated start date of mid-October, maybe even sooner, depending on the notice requirements of the particular candidate selected. One item that's not in my report is the Administrative Technician 2 utility billing. We currently have a vacancy. We are in a recruitment. There is an application deadline of 4 o'clock on Wednesday, September 6th at the administrative offices for the Cambria Community Services District. And for those at home, if anyone's interested, they can contact Monique Madrid at the district offices at 927-6223.
Date again is?
Is 4 o'clock on Wednesday, September 6th.
Okay.
And that is at the district offices. We don't accept postmarks. It has to actually be in our hands at that time. Under Parks and Recreation, just reminding folks, because we made a commitment when we worked with friends of the Fiscalini Ranch Preserve and among our staff, that people who are utilizing the Bluff Trail need to keep their dogs on leash. There are signs out there, and there are other many other available areas on the ranch for dogs to be off leash. If anybody has any concerns, questions, or comments, please contact Ben Bohr at 927-6239. And then I have some late-breaking news about our Marine Terrace Trail. So let me find that press release. We had a will be wheelchair accessible with two ADA parking spaces located at the north end of the Windsor entrance. As I stated before, the trail will also function as an emergency vehicle roadway in case of a wildland fire or other emergency event. The California Conservation Corps will add a segment of boardwalk on the north end connecting the Marine Terrace Trail with the recently improved Bluff Trail project. Funding is through grants from the Federal Recreation Trails Program and the Coastal Conservancy. If anyone has any questions or comments, please contact Connie Davidson at 805-909-9794. So that's really good news. We didn't know they were going to get such a quick start, and they are.
Yeah. I think it's really neat. I think that just based on the usage of the trail, we're really getting some acceptance there.
We are. It's going to be very popular, yeah, like the Bluff Trail. Okay, the final part of my report before we move to prose is probably the lengthiest I'm ever going to report to the board. Maybe, maybe not. This is to just state for the public's benefit and or staff and anyone who might be interested in, and of course the board of directors, some clarifications on the proposed item that I put forth for approval last month when I was absent. And this is regarding the CCSD Rec Center. We, just as a reminder, we made a recommendation to fund $50,000 toward limited activities for a rec center in Cambria that would be managed by the CCSD. Comments were made at that meeting, and since then I've had several emails or letters and even some verbal communications with folks who are suggesting that there could have been some lack of fiscal accountability by the district staff in making our recommendation. And today I wish to clarify what I consider to be misstatements and potentially misunderstandings. I kind of issued them out in the report. The first one, of course, and most importantly in my mind, is the financial accountability. As your general manager, I do not, and I will not make a final recommendation or financial recommendation if there are not funds with which to do it. I, along with our staff, take our fiscal stewardship responsibility very seriously. Furthermore, I strive for a transparent public process. Everything concerning CCSD expenditures is discussed during public meetings if it's not budgeted. I recommended $50,000 to come from the general fund reserves, which just the month before we presented as approximately $76,000 for fiscal year 2006 and 2007. Before our June 2006 budget hearing, I removed the $50,000 allocation from the Parks and Rec Department's budget as a result of the closure, and it was unexpected, of the Community Center of Cambria. We recommended diversion of those funds to the general fund reserves, which happens in any operational instance that we find that the funds are not needed, the interest income. Therefore, it's anticipated there could be additional general fund revenue sources to consider for expenditures at mid-year, as has been the case during the past 4 years of my employment with the CCSD. The second item is the CCSD Rec Center. There was some confusion that we were going to be granting or giving $50,000 to an inexperienced or outside organization. However, this was not the case. The recommendation on July 27th was for a CCSD-managed recreation center with limited activities. There was no direct connection to the Community Center of Cambria except for negotiations with the Lions Club for the use of the Palmer Building on Main Street, which is the former site of the Community Center of Cambria, and consideration of a professional consultant contract with a former employee of the Community Center of Cambria on an interim basis. As part of my duties as Parks and Rec Manager, I would have managed the professional consultant contract much like I do Connie Davidson as our Public Information Officer. The recreational programs that would have been developed on a limited basis, as I stated before, and the activities for the CCSD. It appears that the staff report was not presented publicly, which may have led to some confusion as to the proposed recommendation. Lastly, the recommended $50,000 was funding previously allocated to the Parks and Recreation budget that we diverted to the general fund reserves during the budget preparation for FY 2006-2007. Throughout the year, staff presents budget amendments for additional operational items as long as there are revenue sources available. In this case, approximately $76,000 in general fund reserves were previously identified during the budget public hearing. Therefore, those funds were clearly available for allocation consideration by the CCSD Board of Directors. The third item is the CCSD Parks and Recreation Department and funding. We do have an established CCSD Parks and Recreation budget. It was established in 2003 in order to be eligible for state parks per capita grant funding. Subsequently, the board approved a Parks and Recreation Manager position description. I maintain responsibility for that position because when I started my employment here in 2002 as assistant general manager, that was one of my tasks. As general manager, I just thought the transition would be easier if I kept that rather than delegate or assign that to another staff member in order to keep the momentum going on the projects we had in process. I maintain that responsibility for the position also as a cost savings measure until a permanent funding source is developed for a fully operational Parks and Recreation Department. There is an approved operations budget for the Parks and Recreation Department, which is funded with general funds or property taxes. The water and wastewater revenues collected via, they are two separate and distinct pots of money. Funding for and progress made on general fund projects such as Parks and Recreation do not delay or interfere with enterprise fund projects. General fund activities include the CCSD Fire Department, the CCSD Parks and Recreation Department, CCSD Facilities and Properties Division, and the CCSD Administration Department. A total of $1.6 million in property tax revenues is estimated for fiscal year 2006-2007. Of that amount, 7%, or $112,473, is allocated to the Parks and Rec Department. The majority of property tax revenues, $1.2 million, or 76%, is allocated to the CCSD Fire Department. Furthermore, we have worked on several Parks and Rec Department projects with grant funding sources and private funds, such as the two new tennis courts at Coast Union High School, the interim dog park, the Community Center of Cambria, Guthrie Bean Keeney House and Gardens, Fiscalini Ranch Preserve EIR and Development Plan, the Santa Rosa Creek Trail, the Bluff Trail, and the Marine Terrace Trail projects. Therefore, even though a permanent public funding source for Parks and Rec has not been developed, staff continues to make progress on funding various projects with grant funds and private or public nonprofit partnerships, including the Cambria Tennis Club, the Coast Union School District, the Cambria Historical Society, San Luis Obispo County Parks and Recreation, San Luis Obispo County Supervisor Bianchi, and the Public Works Department, the Interim Dog Park Volunteers, and then I have some others that I listed, which include the San Luis Obispo Land Conservancy, the California Coastal Conservancy, the California Conservation Corps, Friends of Fiscalini Ranch Preserve, and we even co-opted last year, as everyone's well aware, with Green Space on a grant opportunity. There was mention of the rec survey and you know, the recreational activities for youth being down on the list, and that the high items were the passive recreation activities. I just listed several projects that might be considered passive and or medium use for parks and recreational projects. We've proved those. We have a proven track record of responding to the passive recreational interests. However, there are other items that some may not consider to be passive that fit within other items that were responded to within the recreational survey, including the tennis courts, including lap pool. We currently have a committee that's studying the lap pool issue, the community center and the youth activities, concerts by the sea or in the park, the skate park, the vets hall, and the basketball goals we have outside are considered active recreation. Continue to work with us with the build out reduction program. I mentioned earlier the interim dog park, and then of course we have the Center Street property that was formerly owned or is owned by the district but are housed our admin offices that we want to turn into a pocket park. And then obviously all of the trail projects, including now this ADA component. The CCSD expenditures on the Community Center of Cambria. I provided to each of the board of directors as requested last month a spreadsheet breakdown of those reimbursements made by the CCSD in compliance with the MOU between us for budgeted community events and fundraising activities. Those types of events included piano classes, dog obedience classes, Spanish and Latin classes, there were day camps, the Teen Dorado, Kidorama, Mayor's Campaign, the Country Coast Classic, Rummage Sale, July 4th activities, Birdies and Bogies Golf Tournament, and Christmas Fantasy. When I also did some further research into the file, some other items included music classes, talk time activities, chalk art, volleyball, crafts, drama, painting, art, and tours that they took the young people on. So for anyone to suggest that these activities do not benefit the youth based on the very itemized reports and receipts we have in our file for reimbursement is The evidence is here. It's there. This report and these funds were managed by our finance manager, and I provided some oversight. He did make a few visits during the time the reimbursements were requested and went through some receipts. You know, we did spot checking. It wasn't that we went and verified every single receipt. And I put them up to the same task as any one of our contractors for those of us who are project managers with the district. There has to be some trust and faith in not only your staff, but also the contractors that we hire, that when we verify the expenditures, they are true, valid expenditures. Five, the financial audit of the Community Center of Cambria. The CCSD Board of Directors requested a financial audit of the Community Center of Cambria as part of its action in approving the fiscal year 2004-2006 MOU. We provided oversight through the finance manager of that process. The finance manager presented that audit report during the CCSD's May 26 regular board meeting. The same professional accounting firm that conducts the CCSD's annual financial audit performed the Community Center audit, that firm being Moss, Levy, and Hartzine. The financial statements of the Community Center of Cambria for year-end December 31, 2004 were audited. All the financial statements, payroll, and tax reports of the Community Center of Cambria were prepared by a local certified public accountant at no cost to the Community Center. It was the first financial audit. And we've actually cleared ours up, as did the Community Center, immediately when they found out that this was an issue. Their concerns about the Community Center's ability to continue as a going concern was also expressed. The testing completed by the auditors did not reveal any incidents of fraud or evidence of financial misrepresentation. The Community Center immediately implemented internal control measures and procedures to maintain a level of revenue control and recordation. Furthermore, the Community Center identified additional areas of revenue generation to address their continuance as a going concern. I close to just make a statement so that everyone is well aware of how I feel with doing my job and how I respect the CCSD staff members that we have, that we work very hard to make sure as many of the community needs and wishes are met within the financial constraints of the CCSD. And we always ensure and welcome public discussion among the governing board of directors and the members of this community. CCSD's financial audits are clean, and there are no findings of financial indiscretions or lack of financial responsibility in the current operations managed by your staff. And with that, I close for that particular issue. I have one last item before I call up Michael Thompson for pros, and that is the credit card report that was mentioned last month. As everyone is well aware, for every board meeting, we give an itemized report of expenditures from the prior month. That is not a requirement. That is something, again, as the staff in this board believes in transparent governance, that everyone can see what the expenditures are. The particular concern that was expressed was about the credit card expenditures. So I gave you, again, another report of itemized items from credit cards for the past 3 months. We separated them out into items such as office supplies, computer supplies, postage, clothing, small tools, meeting expenses, the travel and training, and biosolids or particular projects that there were items charged to. I might add that mentioned last month was the fact that there's all the oversight in the credit card statements. They left me out. I'm the one that is the final review of all the credit card statement bills. And I might add that the auditors are always, this is one of the very testable items each and every financial year. There are items that are, you know, it was mentioned that they're typically used for travel and training. That is true. And in the current purchasing policy, that's what it says. We are a progressive organization, and I'm going to move in the next couple of months to produce to you for consideration the opportunities that we have in circumstances when we do online ordering and or there's exigent circumstances that require us to use the district credit card, that we need to be a little bit flexible in being able to do that. Again, still following, though, our purchasing policy guidelines to document the expenditure item. Every one of these items in this report is a budgeted item. Particularly mentioned at that meeting last month was the fact that we, you know, somebody extrapolated the expenditure of $10,000 out 12 months and said, gosh, we spend $120,000 a year. That's not true. This report shows you that in this past 3 months, we spent $13,000. We might go 3 months and not have any MasterCard charges. You as directors have a travel budget, and you fit your travel within that budget. And I know for a fact that the employees who have a travel budget, especially in the administration division, we, in the meetings that I attend with you anyway, Each and every session that we go to for an AQUA meeting has concurrent sessions. There's four or five. And we all have to pick and choose because we want to provide the best benefit for training and education for this district as possible and use those monies the best way possible. And I want to communicate to the public that I can verify that I've seen that happen. So when we go to AQUA, staff and the board, we kind of collaborate and we try to split off into different directions so that we get the best benefit for the CCSD with the training and travel dollars that we have. So the last item I want to mention on that is that when there is budget allowances, your travel typically fits within that. I monitored it for last year where there was an over expenditure of director travel last year on a very minimal budget, I might add, because we did increase it a bit. We went under. So that's how budgets work. If there's an over expenditure and an under expenditure, it ends up balancing, and either there can be a surplus or there can be a shortfall in any given year. So I wanted to make sure that I responded to those credit card expenses, make sure everyone is aware that we have probably one of the best finance staffs I've ever worked with. I've been in this business for 16 years in public agencies, and everyone out there who's a financial professional will know that they're lovely people, but there are lots of constraints placed upon those of us who are used to working in operations to make sure that we follow the guidelines and the policies and ensure our financial accountability. And I am stating for a fact today that that is what's going on with your staff today at the CCSD. So with that, I close and I invite Michael Thompson, if he's here. Oh, no, wait, I got one more item. Michael, is he here? Oh, he didn't come. Okay. I also knew that there was an item with regard to a credit card for one of the board members here that used to be associated with the Community Center of Cambria. I am aware, and I'll let District Council jump in here now that he's arrived, that Director Coben did turn in the financial paperwork for the District Council to review that, and then I'll let Art jump in there if there's anything else he wants to add.
You know, the paperwork I received indicated that the credit card, if it still exists in the name of a board member, is not drawn on her credit, but was only issued at the time she was a member of the board of that particular agency. In fact, if I advised that nonprofit, I would ask the name be taken off because it's not based on her credit worthiness, does not appear on her credit report. It's basically not her credit card.
Which is the same exact policy your CCSD members and staff members enjoy. The credit card is in the name of Cambria Community Services District with each of our names underneath it so that we are approved as a signatory when we use the card. And it does not appear on our individual credit reports. And if either any of us were to leave the district, it would be a district liability, not a personal liability of ours.
Yes.
Tim, that was great report, and thank you for that. Two things. One is the credit card issue comes up because there's a sense that then that creates a debt. So as you use this as a business tool, the payments are made each month. I assume we're not carrying any credit card debt forward.
Pay the credit card debt each and every month, and each item that is charged, I might add, is coded to the budget line item. So it is that finite when we do credit card statements.
So it's really a tool for cash flow management.
It is indeed that, and just the ease in registering, purchasing, or getting things that we might need on an immediate basis.
Right. And the second point, there was a number of people who expressed some concern about the word consultant, that we're hiring another consultant when you were talking about the... could you explain the use of that term in this regard, that it was to make a short-term employee?
We cannot afford district employees on a permanent basis unless I know that there's funds available, because the item as it was presented to me from the ad hoc committee, discussed at PROS, and then the letter I'd received from the Lions Club suggesting that they would wait on the district action, I thought there was an immediate need for some interim action. And so it would be simple if I knew that I could resort to one of the employees who was a professional, a degree professional, to bring them in on a short-term basis rather than have to go through the whole recruitment process that's necessary at the CCSD.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tammy. Is there any other discussion from board members on this rather lengthy subject? I think you've dealt with very well. I would say you said about we didn't get through the presenting the staff report last time completely, and that's my fault. When we're
perfectly okay. We do that at every meeting. We try to keep each other on track. But I wanted to make sure that it was clear that I think that led to some of the discussion that this would be some outside agency managing these funds.
Right. Yeah, Michael Thompson's not here, so we can proceed to Mr. Grossman's.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. I'll be brief. Filing outlines the water-related projects since the last report at the July 27th meeting. The Water Master Plan EIR and build-out reduction planning is continuing. I did get an update earlier this week that I'm working with RBF on as far as doing the preparing the administrative draft for the EIR and the Water Master Plan. Once we get that done, it'll become a public review draft, and it'll go out for circulation with the public, and that'll either be 30 or 45 days, I can't recall off the top of my head, but that'll follow with a public hearing for comments and so forth. So that work is proceeding. The other project, of course, is the Pine Knolls Tank Replacement Project. The contractor is working there this week. There is some dirt being moved and actual physical activity that you'll notice if you're up in that area. With the main change order on that job that resulted due to the permitting delays and so forth, we did have to revise the date somewhat from what I mentioned at the last meeting, and that is because of the fact we're moving an existing tank with a crane, it takes longer time to complete the job, and I misspoke, and we actually are putting the time for the contract completion at 270 days for the very first tank, which we call tank number two, and that would be May 18th, roughly, for the completion of that first tank. And we've done the entire project for both tanks, as well as moving the existing tank, for 365 days, which puts it at approximately August 21st, 2007. So that, I just want to let you know that that is what we put in the change order because of the fact there's additional work than what was in the original contract, which had 270 days in it.
Could I just interject there, Bob? When we get the first tank online, is that effectively doubling our water supply up there, or is it more than that?
It'll more than double it. Yeah. We have about a little over 100,000 mm-hmm. there, and that's about 460,000 gallons, so about four times as much storage. So we'll get that operating hopefully by mid-May, and then we'll go from there in building the second tank, which is the same size, roughly 460,000. Mm-hmm. So, but we'll have that first one in line by that time.
Thank you very much.
Then the other interesting and critical task we're doing right now is developing the temporary foundation for the tank that's going to be moved. And that's looking to occur roughly mid-September. We're targeting around September 18th, but the next week or two will determine whether that slides out or in a little bit. But that we'll keep tracking closely and coordinating closely with operations. That'll be a key activity where we've already developed some changes on the job where we hope to minimize the time that the tanks are out of service in order to make that switch over. So that's moving along. And once we get the tank moved, then the foundation will be completed for the first tank, the tank number two tank, and that'll follow with the steel work. So we're moving along, finally starting to get off the ground, which is nice to see. The other thing in today's discussion part of the agenda, we do have an easement agreement with Mrs. Doris Peterson. I won't get into that right now. She is our western next-door neighbor to the tank site. And the other item we have is an agreement amendment and a task order with Earth Systems Pacific, who is doing the compaction testing and concrete testing. So we'll cover that later on. Unless there's questions on that project, I'll move on to desal. On the desalination project, we've been in the midst of the permitting for the geotechnical and hydrogeological investigation that's out at the San Simeon Beach area. And that we have two coastal development permits in process. And that's because we overlap a jurisdictional boundary between the county, which is above a mean high tide line, and the Coastal Commission, which is below that. So the first one that we had going is the county, and that made it through both the Planning Commission as well as an appeal hearing that occurred on August 15th. So we'll see what happens on that, whether it gets appealed or not, and see whether that ends up at the Coastal Commission. We have a second one also in process that went directly to the Coastal Commission. We're still developing the background supporting documents for that. Other than that, pretty much concludes what I had to say about the desal project. Lastly, the Zone 2 pumping station replacement and Stewart Street tank enhancement project, that's starting off as far as getting our RFP has been on the street now for several weeks, and we expect to get proposals from engineering firms by the end of the day on September 13th, and then we'll follow up with evaluating those proposals. And that concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Question, Bob, how soon can a contract be let to an engineering firm once you go through the selection process? In other words, what agenda would you expect to have that on?
Well, I feel it'd probably be the October agenda, most likely.
Joe?
Bob, and any sense of the date we might be able to appear before the Coastal Commission with for the tanks?
That can vary. My estimate might be the October meeting, depending on what happens in the next few days. I think they have an October 11th meeting. I think they go for 2 or 3 days, as I recall, somewhere in Los Angeles area.
And we have sent our materials to them for
We have, but we have more work to do yet on, okay. on the permit that has gone directly to them, and we're working on that right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Welcome.
I would say, Bob, that I attended the meeting with the supervisors, and I think that the presentation by staff and the people who are working with you made it very clear what we're doing, and I appreciate that very much. In fact, the 5-0, I think, showed that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. Brian.
Yeah, I think Carlos will put it up on the board. Actually, water system's doing pretty good right now. Levels are high, and we're in pretty good shape. This is Santa Rosa Lagoon this morning, and nice little view, a little hazy out there. And let's see if I can get this to go the right way. Yeah, another little view of it. This is San Simeon Lagoon this morning, and you can see neither creek is breached. And the black line on the San Simeon well chart here is our well level. And you can see we're almost at record high. Same thing here over 6 years, we're actually above it. And Santa Rosa, we're doing fine. The creeks are still running, so we're still essentially full. Oops, I don't know how that got in there. That's where my head is. Anyway. On a couple other things. our well operations, we still have a positive gradient, and we will as long as the creeks are full. Our dewatering process is kind of poking along. I need to really get on that hard. Also, today, about an hour ago, I found out that we just got our sludge hauling shut off from another county, so we're going to be stocking it up for a little while until we figure out why they're shutting it off. But it seems like it's probably the same old thing. Also, I'd like to point out, Bob mentioned some of the timetable on the Pine Knolls tanks, but specifically the week of September the 11th or the 18th is when the tanks will be moved, and we will only have one tank in operation at that time. So I encourage all commercial and residential people to put on your calendar to miser the water during the week of the 11th and 18th of September. Just really squeak it off. Don't use hardly any if you can get away with it. And just remember to watch your fires and just so that we can hopefully not have any fires. And I really appreciate that. And to keep it short, that's it.
Any questions for Brian? I was wondering, Brian, you talked about people keeping their water use down. Are people still picking up the recycled water from San Simeon?
Well, not as much, but we're actually moving a lot. A lot of contractors are moving out. I know the high school's taken quite a bit. They've had some problems with their irrigation system, and there's quite a few other contractors pulling water out of there. But as far as the private go, I don't know. I've been gone a little bit, so I'll check into it, though, and see. But, during the summertime and the late fall, we've had really good success with it, especially last year.
So we should encourage people to get back and get their trucks out again.
Right. We're actually putting a new system in there, too, to get rid of the water tank and stuff, so there'll be a pressure system in there in the future, probably in the next couple of weeks. It'll be a lot easier to fill up.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Bye.
Ready for Fire Chief.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. President, board members. You have my report, which was put together by Chief Miller and myself since I was out of the country for the last 2 weeks. We've been fairly busy with prevention and education recently with a lot of residential and commercial inspections underway. We're trying to get through all the commercial businesses in Cambria and make sure they're safe for the business owners and the citizens who enter them. You'll notice that we still have the two ongoing fire investigations. The commercial fire that was intentionally set, we're still working on that. That's still open, and we had the four roadside wildland sets. There was an arrest made based on some investigative work from Assistant Chief Miller and in cooperation with the San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Department. Persons in prison on an unrelated matter, and we're still not sure if that case has been closed up yet or not. Also not on my report, but I did want to mention it, is that the early morning of August 6th, we had another commercial structure fire in the East Village. It was a dentist office. It was an accidental fire. Fortunately, the dentist who owns the business happened to see the fire, and because he got on it fairly quick, he got it just as the flames were beginning on the inside of the building to hit the ceiling. I would estimate there's about $15,000 in fire loss to the building, even though the fire only probably burned for maybe 5 to 7 minutes. But there's almost $70,000 or $80,000 in smoke damage. That was unfortunate, but it could have been much, much worse, especially since that's the old part of town and there's a lot of density there. There's not a lot of separation between the businesses.
Was that electrical?
No, actually, it was a gas burner that was left on accidentally when the business was closed early in the morning. So working late at night, as a lot of us do. Later on in the agenda, you'll see the Fire Hazard Fuel Reduction Defensible Space Program has come to a close, and that's an agenda item that's on for later with a public hearing. Operationally, I wanted to report that we've been successful recently in getting two donated residences donated for our use in the fire department that we've been using for fire training. Captain Mike Gallagher, our training officer, and our other staff worked hard to get a residence on Pierce that I think we had for about a week to 10 days before it was demolished. It was a house slated for demolition that we were able to basically use an artificial smoke machine and simulate a residential structure fire and practice attack, allow people to develop command and control skills, ventilation, pulling ceiling, the typical things that we have to do to contain, control a fire, rescue down firefighters, and search for trapped victims. So we're real fortunate to get those buildings, and I really appreciate our staff's efforts to do that. It's a lot of work for us and for the property owner. We're also right now working on the final throes of getting another building that will be donated that was damaged in the early storms this year that's slated for demolition, and we should be able to use that for several months again for fire and rescue training. Last but not least, thanks to Ben Bohr. He was able to provide some of these little gems from the West Fiscalini West Ranch. We have some smokers, I guess, out there who feel it's probably a good idea to go ahead and put their whatever they're smoking out in these plastic containers. And you'll see these little holes in the side. These aren't wormholes. This is where the cigarettes burn through and started to catch the vegetation on fire. And we have another one here. You can see the burn holes in the side right here. the grass has been dry for several months. This isn't a good technique to put things out. There's no smoking on the ranch. We can't afford to have a fire out there or anywhere in the community, whether it's on the September 11th or the week of the 18th when our water tanks are low. We haven't had a large wildland fire here in a long time. We don't want to have one now. So I hope the people that are doing this, and I hope the people who walk on the ranch will make sure that, you know, people aren't putting their butts out this way on the ranch. I have people besides Ben call me all the time about finding cigarette butts smoldering out there, or little rings of black circles where somebody stomped something out. So please be careful out there. It doesn't take much for it to get going. I know it's next to the coast and the ocean. It seems cool and moist, but it doesn't take long for these things to get a little glow, and it's off and running. We got a half acre of grass, and it's running up behind people's homes, and big fires start very small. They move very quickly. So that's all I have really to report. And I'd be glad to answer any questions that you may have.
Any questions for the chief?
Thank you for sharing.
Are we getting a lot of cooperation with the old ballasts, by the way?
We are. We still have a lot of oncoming calls coming in, primarily from residences. I had a longtime Cambria resident who's been gone for a while come back today and was asking. So that information is still out there and circulating in the community. I've talked to some of the local electricians, and they're inspecting them and changing them out. I think I reported at the last meeting that we had another smoking ballast that was in the basement of the Brambles building. And fortunately, they were there when it started to go off and started to smoke. And so we were able to catch it early. But there's still a lot of these out there that have PCBs in them, and if people are concerned about them, they should call an electrician and have them inspect the ballast and see if it contains PCBs or not. If there's no PCBs in it, it will state that on the label of the ballast. It will say no PCB, and that fixture should be safe. If it doesn't say no PCBs, then it has them in it, and the ballast should be changed.
Did I understand last time you said that your camera will actually detect a heat source if you go into, say, an office building, something like this? Or?
It will, yeah. The thermal imaging camera, or TIC as we call it, will detect a heat source, and it has a pyrometer on the side, which is like a scaled thermometer gradient that shows anything from about 150 or 200 degrees all the way up to, I think it's 2,500 or 3,000 degrees. So when we pointed it at it, actually the screen is in different colors, and it'll show actually how hot it is in the source of a fire. In fact, in the commercial fire, I just reported the dentist office fire. We used that to find out on the upper shelves did we have fire burning that we couldn't see because the building was full of smoke. Mm-hmm. So it's a great tool, and it helps us find hot ballasts.
I appreciate that, Chief, very much. Thank you. Yeah. Mr. Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. I have three items on my report, the first being the financial audit of the district. This coming Monday, a team of auditors from Ossleby and Hartsheim will be in the office finishing up the district audit. And I must say it is a kind of a fun, challenging exercise to go through, and it does provide a lot of wonderful constructive criticism. The other second item is the assessments which have been completed and submitted to the County of San Luis Obispo. When I wrote my report, we hadn't finalized yet the fuel hazard reduction, and I had estimated 100,000. The actual number there is $120,628. I might add that the bulk of that, 90,000 something, is actually passed through money, so that's not all money that comes back to the district. And last but not least, in the last board meeting, I had mentioned and talked about a reimbursement resolution. In September, we will be bringing one back to you, and it'll be for the Pine Knolls tank. And I'm going to estimate $2.2 million. And I want to reiterate, this does not obligate the district to go out and do any debt funding. It just gives us the option and the opportunity to do so if the opportunity presents itself come January, February, or as we get into the early part of next year. And that concludes what I have, and I'd be more than happy to entertain any comments or questions.
Any comments for Patrick? Okay, thank you. Thank you, Patrick, and I hope we'll still see you for a couple of months.
Oh, you betcha. I'm having too much fun.
Thank you. I have one public comment on the reports. That's from Jerry McKinnon.
Thank you for the opportunity. I'm Jerry McKinnon of Cambria. I don't know how to say this. I'm concerned about the $50,000 that was transferred to the general fund that was going to go into the community center activities. Would it be possible for me to respectfully ask that the $50,000 go into the improvement of this Veterans Memorial Building? This Veterans Memorial Building is a showplace in town. It shows our dedication to the men who gave their lives in fighting imperialism, Nazism, fascism, communism, and now we're involved in fanaticism. This is a focal point for the existence of our government, for the existence of our country, and for it to be slided into a category that does not call attention to what this building is and how it should be maintained. It takes money. And I recall the history of the building. When the CCSD started in 1976, there were only two places that funds from taxes were spent. One was on the fire department, and the other was on the Veterans Memorial Building. And then a little came along where we got involved in some lighting, and then came the public restrooms, and then came, of course, we had two houses that now since have been sold. But there have been other things that have continued to drain and use these monies that come from the taxes. And I see this building being relegated to a lower priority all of the time. You need just walk around the building and see those things that are going to have to be replaced, and that's going to take money. The eaves on the building are so high up, and there appears to be wood rot in them now. We know that there was talk about replacing the entire roof, the shingles on it. And so I would respectfully request that this $50,000 that you really don't know what to do with, you had planned to use it on the Palmer Building activities, that it be used now for the upgrade of the Vets Hall, including resurfacing the parking lot, which needs to be protected. Thank you.
Jerry, did you get a chance to read the manager's report before the meeting?
I'm sorry?
Did you have an opportunity to read the manager's report?
Yes, and I don't see the word Veterans Memorial Building in it anywhere.
Okay.
What I do see is that 7% of the property taxes are going into parks and recreation, and the majority of it going to the fire department. I don't object to that. But within the 7% of the parks and recreation, we have now an additional $50,000, which really brings the total up to $126,000 that are available for these activities. And I'm asking that the $50,000 go into this building. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's not correct. $76,000 is the total estimated diversion to revenue or to the reserve fund for general funds. And then I respect Mr. McKinnon. He's a former employee of the district who worked here at the Vets Hall. But I also work very well with Ben Bohr, who is the manager here. We have a projects list of items at this Vets Hall. It has its own budget. It falls under properties and facilities. And I take great pride, along with Mr. McKinnon and Mr. Bohr and other members of this community, in taking care of this facility. It is widely known and widely used, and it is at the forefront of the district's activities and operations.
Mr. President,
yes.
Just to clarify matters, and meaning no disrespect to Jerry McKinnon, but can anybody remember how much it cost to sprinkler this building?
110 or 150?
Yeah,
it was a lot.
It was $102,000.
There you go.
Jerry, keep in mind, we had to sprinkler this building in order to comply with the Uniform Fire Code. And that's where $110,000 of money that might otherwise have been spent on painting and so forth went.
There's a little history on that. The The Lions Club, Allied Arts, and the American Legion wanted to add a dressing room at the back of the building. The plans were drawn up for them. They were preliminary, was taken over to the fire department to see what they think. And Steve said, hey, that looks pretty good. What about a sprinkler system? I said, what? Sprinkler system. You have to have a sprinkler system if you're going to add on the square footage of the building. Certain members of the board were on a committee that was discussing addition to the building. And it was a plan at one time to add to the building. The sprinkler systems were added as phase one in order to expand the stage. Had there not been a plan to expand the stage, the sprinkler system would not have been required. Is that right, Chief?
I think we're hitting a lot of hot buttons right now.
Yeah, all I can tell you is, as your chief, when I got here, I looked at the district's risk assets, and although there was no modification plan for this building, this was the single most asset at risk for the district, and the volume of water to put out a fire in this building, even small, would have paled by comparison what it would cost to put a sprinkler system in. If I put a sprinkler system in anybody in this audience or at Holmes building and required it, or Chief Miller did, it would not be as extensive it was in this building. This is a, as Jerry well knows, this is a heavy timber, old constructed building that has an attic up above that's tall enough that almost a 10-foot high person can walk in, and it has such void spaces that we doubled the sprinkler coverage in here in case this was a focus of someone to take an act of harassment or try to firebomb, or if there was a party going on in here and someone tried to do something untoward, that we try to protect the occupants and protect the building. So the sprinkler system and the fire alarm system in here, including the annunciators, is over and above what was required to retrofit the building. I wanted, and with the approval of you and the general manager and the other staff, agreed to pay the extra money to protect this building because it is such a gem, and we can't afford to lose it.
And Mr. President, given just recent history and the coupled with the amount of use that this building gets and the concentration of use with tables in here, people crowding around, potentially difficult access to exits and so forth, I think it would be unconscionable for us to not sprinkler this building. All you have to do is just look at the past 5 or 10 years and the many, many incidents that have happened around the world where, had there been sprinklers, many lives would have been saved.
May I make one final statement? Yes. On behalf of staff, you all are well aware, as everyone in the public, that we've made some really nice modifications to the facility, including this access ramp out here that was replaced and improved, and the one to the side of the building, and all of the ADA requirements in order to get the facility up to grade and up to code. I just don't want to leave the impression there that the district has not worked really hard on this building. I don't want to fail to mention the groups as well who have spent their dollars and their fundraising activities on these very nice blinds that are in this facility and the stage curtain. We, as a staff, are also intimately involved in the folks who put on productions here to reconstruct or try to accommodate some of the things on the stage without having the actual expenditure at this time. So I just want to make sure it's clear that Mr. McKinnon has his position, as do I and Ben Bohr, and that we are going to continue to work very hard on this facility.
Thank you.
Tammy, I was going to make the same observation you did, but it also prompts me to think that you're talking about all the nonprofits who use it for free. I know that this building costs the district every year more than it brings in for its use, and it's probably time for us to begin thinking about to increase use fees or increase the number of people who pay.
Well, one of the things we're going to be doing during the long-term financial management plan is reviewing the fees, and as you recall in the ordinance that sets forth the district's user fees and charges, there is a nonprofit rate there. And that is something that I will be bringing back to the board once we do the research to show how the costs have increased for the facility, not just in operations and repair, but with utilities and staffing costs responsible for the facility. And that will come as part of the Black and Veatch report.
I think we're now ready for a member's report, and I have Deborah Coben.
Could I just ask for a minute to make some comments? First is, while we haven't gotten official confirmation, you all probably know that I was not elected as the alternate for LAFCO. So Shirley Bianchi told me that. I just want to take a minute to mention the Economic Opportunity Commission. I've been the representative from Cambria now for a little over 3 years because I finished an unexpired term of someone else, and my term is up in December. EOC's mission has to do with helping people to help themselves out of poverty. They run the migrant programs and the Head Start, the homeless shelters, and that sort of thing. So it's really been an eye-opener for me, and I've enjoyed it representing you there. My term is up in December, and I serve on the audit committee for them and on the resource development committee. So I've really gotten very much involved in the whole thing. As a matter of fact, and that's the last thing I want to say, is they've invited me to attend the national conference in Orlando next week. And that's something called the Community Action Partners, all the organizations on a national level who work with people in poverty come, and they're having a meeting. So I'm going to be part of the presentation that EOC staff will be presenting to that in that group. That'll be next week from October 5th to the 8th, excuse me, September. So at any rate, I just thought I'd update you on that. It's been interesting, and people are well aware of Cambria because of that. There are four other elected officials that serve on the board as well, so it's been a neat networking for me to get to know those people from other communities. And I think all in all, it's done well. And somehow they all watch our district meeting. Now, I'm not sure why, but every time I come and they say, well, we saw your meeting and that happened. And so it's been a really good thing to have somebody on that board. And, of course, it's made me very aware of what the needs are in this wonderful county that we live in. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Is there any other board member reports at the time? Seeing none, we'll go then into our consent agenda, please.
Okay, consent item 6A is to approve the expenditure report for the month of July 2006. 6B is to approve the minutes of the Board of Directors meeting July 27th through 2006. Item 6C is to adopt Resolution 39-2006, approving the 2006 Conflict of Interest Local Agency Biennial Amendments. 6D is to adopt Resolution 44-2006, authorizing Task Order 3 to the Corolla Engineers Professional Engineering Services Agreement for the desalination project 30% design update.
I move approval of the consent calendar.
Second.
Was there any discussion? No, okay. All right, those in favor signify by aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. For item 7A, I guess.
That's right. This is to conduct a public hearing on the parcel subject to fire hazard fuel reduction, to authorize and approve Resolution 440-2006 confirming fire hazard fuel reduction itemized report, and direct staff to submit parcel numbers and fees to the county assessor for tax rolls. I'm going to turn it over for just a brief report and before you enter your public hearing to Chief Putney.
Thank you. You have before you the fiscal impact. Approximately 1,856 parcels were abated this contract year. The reason for the higher number is that in October last year, Governor Schwarzenegger, after almost 70 years of lobbying by the California Fire Service, increased the Public Resources Code requirement of defensible space around residential and commercial structures of all types from 30 feet to 100 feet. For those of you that remember the San Diego fires, where several people lost their lives and thousands of homes were consumed, there was a Blue Ribbon Fire Commission that was involved senators, congressmen, fire planners, public safety officials, Office of Emergency Services, a huge coalition, and one of a number of recommendations of that Blue Ribbon Commission was on flat ground, not on slopes, but on flat ground, to increase the defensible space from 30 feet to 100 feet. In order for us to do that, since that was approved in October of last year, and that's a Public Resource Code requirement, we were faced with possibly adding as many as 300 or 400 parcels initially, and when we looked at it, we were looking at maybe as many as 1,000. We could not add 1,000 parcels in one fire hazard fuel reduction year because we don't have enough contractors to do the work. So what we elected to do is over a five-year period add those parcels to be done. So in this packet today, you will see that the charges, which are over $100,000, which are significantly more than we typically dole out, are a result of 80% of the about 192 parcels were not cleared at all by owners, and they had not been cleared for anywhere from 15 to 40 years. They were never on the contract list before. They were never noticed to be cleared. And you notice some of them in here are $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 charges because they were so heavily overgrown. Several of these are on 30 and 40% slopes. A lot of Cambrians have called and were irate that areas have been cleared that they deemed as green and would not burn. What they failed to realize is that what was on top was green. It was burning through, but the 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 feet of material underneath had been dry for years and years and years and was much like dried bales of hay that were sitting underneath just ripe to burn. So all I could say is that this the amounts that are in here seem high and seem exorbitant. Some people have alleged it's because we're using a different contractor, and I would disagree with that. We've looked at the quality of the lots that were cleared. Captain Hollingsworth, who manages this program, went out and made sure that the contractor was doing exactly what we ask and was also meeting the FireWise requirement that you as a board recommended for clearing the lots in a safe and environmental way so that we were not cutting down fire-resistive native species. The bottom line is the reason for the significant increase in clearing costs is that 80% of the lots that went to contract were very expensive to clear, very labor intensive, very steep slopes that required dragging the material up to the top and hauling it away because we don't allow them to cash it over a canyon and let out in somebody else's lot. The other thing that I think that you will find interesting is that probably a number of the people who called and complained to us that we were requiring lots to be cleared were probably the same neighbors that for years had been dumping illegally in those overgrown lots because they could put it in the middle and not be discovered. So when these contractors went to clear some of these big flat lots, they found pathways into the middle where there was construction debris, trimmings that obviously came from surrounding trees. And the advantage of this is that won't happen again because the lot's cleared now. So to pile it in the middle would be very, very clear. So I'd be glad to answer any questions. Again, this will be on the tax roll. I'm sure some people will be probably flabbergasted is probably an understatement of their tax bill, but they were duly noticed to clear their lots. They have a legal responsibility to do that, both for the protection of our of the people who live and work in Cambria and also for the protection of our firefighters. We don't have a problem risking our lives a lot to save people, but when we can require clearance so we don't have to encounter the huge fire fronts, that's better for Cambria, it's better for the environment, and obviously better for the public safety of our people. So I would be glad to answer any questions that you have. Again, you'll see the 85% administrative charge doesn't exceed $100. So even these lots that may have a $3,000 clearance, 85% of that would be a significant amount. There's a maximum amount of administrative charge on there for $100, which could be one of the reasons that we're not getting as high of clearance rate by the deadline. So that's going to be something that we're looking at next year. If it's a little, if it stings a little bit more in the pocketbook not to have it cleared by the deadline, maybe more of these people will clear their lots. So I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Any questions for the chief? I would say, Chief, that in my neighborhood, the clearance have been spectacular. We opened up vistas we didn't really know existed. And by the amount of debris which has been assembled at the curb, it shows what you were saying, the dumping that had occurred in the past.
Well, I appreciate that, and I would bring my accolades to my staff, especially Captain Hollingsworth, his crew, and the other people who went out and did the lot inspections and got out and walked the lots to make sure that all of our contractors are not themselves illegally dumping on parcels next door and stuffing cut debris in lots that are out there. We take zero tolerance to that as well.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I guess I will say they seem to be using larger machinery, too. That it's increased the noise level during this period of time, and so it may, we should make some notice of that next year, perhaps, of letting people know that it's one of those necessary evils.
Yeah, and I, in talking to the contractor this year and the other contractors, more and more of them are going to be going to larger chippers because of the fuel, the diesel fees to haul, and then the dump fees to dump them. It's much more economically feasible, and we're going to be looking at alternatives to chip and leave some of the chip material on the site, and that's going to be cheaper for the citizens and the property owners. It's going to be environmentally sensitive because it will provide some revitalization of the seed bed that's in there, but we're going to have to work with that a little bit, because if you pile too much chips over existing trees, you heat up the ground and you can cause stunning of the root ball and then cause premature decay of trees that are otherwise healthy. So we're going to have to approach that with some concern, but more and more of them are using chippers, and it's easier to haul away piles of chips than it is huge tons of round logs when we get a lot of trees down.
Thank you. This is a public hearing, so I open that to the public. Any comment? All right, I'll close the public hearing and bring it back to the board.
I'll move approval of the recommended action.
Second the motion.
Okay, roll call.
Okay. Director Cope?
Aye.
Director Sanders?
Aye.
Director Villeneuve?
Aye.
President Chaldicott?
Aye.
That motion is passed. And I do appreciate, along with other board members, the work that you guys, for $100 to have to walk some of those sites, it must be a real loser, I think. Thank you. We're now into item B.
You, Mr. Bradley?
Mr. Bradley, will you?
Tammy's gone.
I hope so.
Yes, I guess it is mine. Thank you. This is an annual calculation that we do every year. It's called the appropriation limit. And this information that we get comes from the Department of Finance, and it's based upon a calculation using the Consumer Price Index and population growth for the unincorporated areas in San Luis Obispo County. We are currently $231,000 under our limit. And essentially what it does is it kind of compares using a base year, and then it's all incrementally increased each year based upon those two calculation factors that I just mentioned, and that is then compared to the amount of property tax that we receive, and we can't exceed that number. We are $231,000 under, and as I said, this is kind of an annual housekeeping thing that we have to do each year. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Is there any questions for staff? Okay, I'm ready for action, please.
I think this is a public hearing.
Oh, so it is. Yes, we open this. Thank you. This, again, is a public hearing. I open that to anyone from the public who wishes to comment on this item. Seeing none, I close the public hearing and bring it back to the board for action.
I move the recommended action.
Have a second?
Second.
Okay. Which one?
Don.
Don second. Okay.
Flip a coin.
All right. And does this require a roll call or just a vote?
Okay. Regular vote is fine.
Okay. All those in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So carried. Thank you very much. We're now into item 8A. Do we have a report from General Manager?
Item 8A recommendation is to adopt Resolution 45, that's the correction I made earlier, -2006, approving the addendum to the CCSD Fire Department Interagency Agreement with the Cambria Community Healthcare District, providing for advanced life support equipment. There are two steps to the recommendation. That's to place the advanced life support equipment on the CCSD Fire Department apparatus per the interagency agreement with the healthcare district under the guidelines outlined by the San Luis Obispo County Health Officer, and to allow the CCSD fire personnel who are California State Certified Paramedics to function in this capacity as support to the healthcare district per interagency agreement under those guidelines established. The fiscal impact is that these expenses will be passed through the CCSD to the healthcare district per this interagency agreement and the labor negotiations with the Cambria Professional Firefighters Association. I attached so that you had what is currently the existing interagency agreement between our two agencies. There's four sections. This addendum becomes your new section, our new section 5. The one that I passed out before the meeting is the addendum that got approved by, as I stated earlier, the Healthcare District Board of Trustees. The red line comments that are made for the information of the public and those who are watching were to clarify, based on the board discussion by the Healthcare District, that the CCSD Fire Department is not a licensed provider for paramedic service. We will simply fill in or provide backup or secondary service. So we just changed anything that might have given the appearance that we had the ability to do that as a primary provider. So the language has been reviewed by District Council. He is accepting of it. For the public's information, this means that the Healthcare District's advanced life support equipment will be placed on the CCSD's fire equipment and will be utilized by the CCSD Fire Department licensed paramedics as an extension of the Healthcare District's ALS provider operations. As stated in the existing agreement, the coverage for liability and workers' compensation is addressed in Section 1. There are some things to work out, and we will do that. The Executive Director, Don Melendi, we have the continued discussions. I wish it was simple, and it could have been just brought immediately when folks wanted to see it happen. However, I'm very cautious when we approach issues that expose the CCSD to liability, and I want to make sure we have all the answers and the ways that we can respond to our employees and the workforce that works for the CCSD, as does the healthcare district, to make sure we are on the right path. The Slo County Health Officer approved the extended ALS operations to the CCSD for a six-month trial basis. Make sure that that's clear, and also that these staff members will not go outside in service of the CCSD boundaries. Where the healthcare district boundaries are larger in capacity, these folks won't be traveling outside those boundaries to be providing a secondary service. Okay? So with that, we recommend approval.
Excuse me, and you said the Health District Board passed it with the changes that are in
with red. The redlined copy. That's the one that I have in front of me to sign. Their board is already, or their Don Melendi's already signed theirs.
Mr. Melendi, would you like to comment on this at all?
He's here, but yeah. He wasn't going to make any presentation.
Okay.
Right. He and I talked. I should have mentioned that as part of my report.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that very much.
Mr. President,
yes.
Just a brief comment. I want to commend the staffs of both agencies and the board of the healthcare district for getting this accomplished. It's a small step, but a very significant one. I think it's a manifestation of what can happen when two public agencies work together. And this is going to be, I predict, a major benefit to the citizens of Cambria. So thank you all for getting this together.
I think I would echo that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you're ready for a recommendation?
Yes, I think we are.
Yeah. Okay. I move that we adopt Resolution 45-2006 approving addendum to the CCSD Fire Department Interagency Agreement with Cambria Community Health Care District, providing for ALS advanced life support equipment.
I'll second it.
All right. And again, I guess we need to emphasize it has not changed the actual staffing levels in Cambria. This is just a use of personnel.
That's exactly correct. And it will not be, like I said, a 24-hour basis thing. It's when those folks are on staff, those licensed paramedics.
Indeed.
That's right. All right. Those in favor signify by aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah.
I'd just like to add an addendum to that also. Then they hopefully the issue of for the healthcare district to have additional staff and to back up the single ambulance. Hopefully that's going to be successful.
They were concerned that in some way or another, this addendum interagency agreement took away from the Citizens Committee, who's looking at ways to deliver EMS in the North Coast. And I just want to make sure today that people understood that this is using existing personnel to expand paramedic service. It's not meant to supplant, defeat, or any way interrupt what the Citizens Committee is working on. We hope that they will look at all options out there, and all we're trying to do is enhance what we currently have, and not trying to short-circuit any efforts that they have or take away from whatever their final decisions, outcome, or recommendations would be out of that Citizens EMS Ad Hoc Advisory Committee.
Thank you. And I think the other thing is, I think this was generated by the fact that you folks were out there every day seeing people in need and wanting to help. It wasn't a political decision. It was people that needed help, and you wanted to do your best to help them.
That's best said. Many of our paramedics are known throughout the community because they work for both agencies. And when they were in the CCSD fire uniform and they were first on a call and maybe there was not an ambulance available or they were delayed, they go, well, where's your paramedic equipment? And people don't often understand that the fire department's not a paramedic provider. But the day before, that particular individual was working as a paramedic carrying the gear. So I think this will get rid of that, and it will it's going to save some lives, and it's a tribute to both agencies to work forward with the spirit of helping the citizens. That's what we're here for, and I think this is a great step.
And I guess the other thing which has not been said today is that increasingly your call mix is for medical assistance.
Yeah, almost 70% of our emergency calls in the Cambria CSD Fire Department are emergency medical or rescue.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Thank you.
The equipment is ready. I just got a message from Don Melindy, and the official start date for delivery to the CCSD and the equipment will be this Saturday. So Great. The staff has been working behind the scenes to get the ALS packet together or the box together, and they've been hoping for this day. They, too, as I might comment or add on to Chief Putney's comments, this was a comment that or a suggestion driven by staff over the past year to 18 months that I've known about, and we're glad to finally see that it's come to fruition.
Certainly. Thank you very much, each one. Ready for item B, and that's what, Mr. Gresham?
Sure. Right. 8B, I was just going to introduce it, is to adopt Resolution 35-2006 authorizing the easement agreement with
our next-door neighbor immediately to the west of the project. During the review of the existing easements that were in the area, Boyle Engineers, working in conjunction with North Coast Engineers, noted that portions of the existing pipeline easements were not needed while other areas didn't have an easement. So we have been working diligently with Mrs. Peterson and with the engineers in developing this agreement and the attachments that go with it to make sure we have the proper areas covered by an easement, as well as being fair to Mrs. Peterson for the impacts from the work. And we also noted from our discussions with her that she and her husband, her past husband, had previously removed some large eucalyptus trees that were actually on the district property at considerable expense to them, as well as removed invasive plant species off of our property. There was some confusion about the boundary in the past. And so that past effort actually facilitates the current project, so we're including some reimbursement to her for those past expenses that she incurred, as well as moving some plants from the boundary with our project over to the other side of her property. Another interesting aspect of this agreement is the one of the new replacement tanks is approximately 9 feet from the property line with her. And as a result, we have a desire to place some tarps on portions of her property, possibly on her roof and so forth. And she's agreed to that in this agreement, as well as to accommodate us on future repainting operations of the plant, of the tank. Lastly, we are going to provide some replacement landscaping in her yard that would include a one-year maintenance period on the plants, as well as 2 years of irrigation water to make sure the plants get established. We would be using very efficient drip irrigation during that period, as well as metering that with a separate meter so we can track the water use. And with that, I think we've estimated the cost running approximately $5,000 to $10,000 for this. The funding would be from water reserves, and the cost would include some attorney fees, some surveying assistance, replacement landscaping, as well as reimbursement of the past expenses that were incurred by Mrs. Peterson. So with that, we do recommend the approval of the resolution 35-2006, and we'd be glad to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
I guess we should clarify that this meter is our meter, and it's only going to be there temporary. We're not giving out a meter.
That's correct. Yeah. That is correct.
Attorney that we are reimbursing, Mrs. Peterson, the representative, left me a message that he wanted to change a few non-substantive words in the agreement, so if that could be allowed as part of your motion today, then I can make those changes after the meeting.
That's fine with the maker of the motion.
A second. All right.
I think if you would express our gratitude to Mrs. Peterson, that, you know, that she's, for all, the way she's cooperated with us, it's been really wonderful.
I'd be glad to. Thank you.
Thanks.
All those in favor signify by aye.
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 Opposed? So carried. Thank you very much. Item 8C.
Okay, 8C is to adopt resolution 43-2006 authorizing the approval of task order 5, the Pine Knolls Tank Replacement Project, and contract amendment number 2 to the agreement with CCGC Inc., doing business as Earth Systems Pacific for geotechnical consulting services. And again, District Engineer Bob Grestens will present the report.
Thank you, Tammy. This is a task order as well as some cleanup on an existing agreement we have with Earth Systems Pacific. Earth Systems Pacific is a geotechnical firm, and they will be doing compaction testing as well as concrete testing on the Pine Knolls Tank Project under the task order number 5 that you have. They'll be coordinating directly with Kim Lindberry, who's our resident engineer on the project, as a result of this task order. We estimated the cost during the construction of the Pine Knolls tank at approximately $17,598.50. And that'll be, it's obviously going to vary depending on how many hours are spent and so forth. The way the agreements work, we have a master agreement which has task orders under it, and the task order 5 would be to the master agreement. In order to continue with the master agreement, we need to have an amendment approved which extends the period of time for it to the end of 2007. It also, we're recommending that you increase the authorization of the task order by about $20,000, which gives us a little ceiling to work under for this project as well as some other projects that could come up in 2007. Currently, we have, we'll go over your current authorization, which was set at $50,000 by about $11,500 with this.
I move the recommended action.
Second.
Second. Any more discussion? All right. All those in favor signify by aye.
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 Opposed? So carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. Thank you. I guess we have item D is the only item left.
Item D is to adopt resolution 25-2006 authorizing the memorandum of understanding between the Cambria Community Services District and the Cambria Professional Firefighters Association. I have staff working on the agreement. I am very pleased and proud to announce that we do have agreement. And I am very pleased and proud of the members of the CPFA for us coming to terms with the agreement. If I might state, while we wait for my staff member to deliver the agreement for you for approval, otherwise I'll let Art tell us how we can reconvene. We did agree on these major items, and that is that the term of this agreement will be effective from July 1st, 2006 through June 30th of 2008. That's a two-year agreement. The salaries, there are six members in the CPFA within the classifications of fire captains and fire engineers. The increase is that it will be effective on July 1st, 2006 for fire captains is 8%. For the fire engineers, it will be 4%. For the fire captains, effective July 1st, 2007, it will be 5%. For the fire engineers, effective July 1st, 2007, it will be 3.5%. And then finally, for the fire captains, there will be a 3% salary adjustment on January 1st of 2008. We agreed on the comparable agencies for salary surveys to be Morro Bay, Atascadero, Paso Robles, and Arroyo Grande. And then the paramedic pay, as we discussed earlier, which will be a pass-through expense, will be $50 per pay period effective July 1st, which means we're going back retroactively in good faith because we thought maybe we might have had the agreement with the healthcare district, and that will be only for those CCSD-eligible members who will get paid. And then we will turn around as the addendum earlier approved and bill the healthcare district on a quarterly basis for reimbursement for those particular costs. So, Art, how do we want to handle this since I don't have the agreement for the board to consider?
I'm not certain how close you are. Do you want to do public comment and come back, or?
Do you want to do that?
I don't know if anyone.
Certainly.
Oh, lastly, I apologize. There were several articles within the Memorandum of Understanding that mutually we were minor, and the other ones are just not coming to mind that, you know, warrant any lengthy discussion about. They're just so that we have clear understanding in these next 2 years how they're going to be administered.
Well, let's clarify. Will we be able to pass this today, or should we have to wait for the agreement to be in hand?
You can do two things. You can authorize the manager to finalize the agreement and sign it on the district's behalf. If we are confident that after the closed session it will be done in a form you can review, final form you can review, you can continue this item and then reconvene the city. I'm sorry, the city. That took me 5 years to say city. The district board in open session to consider that item after the closed session. I don't know, Tammy, what timing do you think?
My recommendation is going to be that you approve the MOU that is being prepared by my staff member, Kathy Fry, who was involved with me as part of the management negotiations team. She's just making sure, as a member of the finance department, that everything is correct before she presents that MOU to us. So my recommendation will be that you approve that agreement and allow the GM to sign the agreement on behalf of the district.
Mr. President, yes. With all due respect, I can't vote for it unless I read it. So I think it would be prudent for the board to adjourn to closed session and then reconvene, giving us time to take a look at it.
Could we reconvene at the office?
Yes, we just continue and notify the public at the end of this meeting that that's where it will be reconvened.
Okay. But we can at this time take any public comment that is available. Board, yeah, okay.
For public, could we give them a general time frame just in case somebody who does want to come?
Let's see, we're down to four board members. It could take shorter period of time.
I would estimate, you mean before we would bring back this item?
Closed session.
Yeah, by the time we all travel there, 3 o'clock?
Probably between 3 and 3:30.
Yeah, we could set for a time certain and reconvene and then go back into closed session if we have to.
How about if we do that at 3 o'clock?
Is 3 o'clock or okay? That's only
that should be enough time for me to go over the agreement, yes.
Okay. So we will reconvene, but at the moment, if there's any public comment on this item, we will accept that right now. Seeing none, I'll close public comment, and we'll move on. We'll adjourn this to district.